Brothers and sisters, God bless you, and I greet you tonight in the blessed name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I trust and believe you are well, and the Lord has kept you and been gracious to you as always. First, I want to thank you for praying for us. We just came back from a place called Kinango in Mombasa. Last evening, we were there over the weekend for a weekend meeting, and the Lord did bless us in a very special way. His presence was with us throughout the convention, and I do want to really thank the believers there. Very nice people, children of God. They love God. Very beautiful spirit, and we enjoyed every moment of our stay there. So thank you so much for your prayers, and also once again to the believers in Mombasa. Brother Caleb, if you are listening in to this question and answer series, a special salute to you, Brother Mutuse, Brother Boniface, and all the believers there. So may the Lord bless you, and once again, welcome to this, the fourth series of the question and answer online question and answer series. And I've received quite a number of feedbacks, which I'm so grateful for, and I do want to salute you for sending the feedbacks. It helps, you know, to know that what is being spoken is of great help to those who are listening, and especially to the people who have asked these questions. So I'll still encourage you to send in more questions so that this program continues on. I already have some, but we still have more. We still need more, rather, so that we continue with this program, which is a blessing to me and to the rest as well. So I'm going to answer again one question. I came back very tired, and I was only able to work on one question, which I'm going to answer. I don't know how long it will take me to answer, but keep me in prayers. So God bless you. Let's bow our heads and say a word of prayer before we answer this question. Gracious Heavenly Father, it's a privilege, it's a great honor, again, dear Father, to come before you by way of answering the questions which you have put in the hearts of your children. And Lord, we believe that each one of these questions are honest and sincere questions, and they mean a lot, Father, not only to the person asking, but to me as well, and to the rest of the believers who are following, Lord. So I pray that you give me the grace, the fortitude, and uphold me, Lord, by the power of your word and your spirit, Lord, and give me the mind, the wisdom, and the mouth to speak, Lord, what you would have me to say. That will be a blessing to your people out there. And Lord, I now commit everything into your hands. Bless your people also out there, dear God. Be with them, and Lord, touch them. There may be some who are sick and afflicted. May you visit them, dear God, and they grant them deliverance. The needy, oh God, may you provide for them, dear Lord. And may none lack anything, for thou art Jehovah Jireh. So now I commit the question here into your hands, as we shall be, and the answers, as we shall be answering them, the scriptures that we shall be making references to, and some, and the quotes as well. Lord, may you anoint it, oh God, that Father, out of those quotes will come forth life. Amen. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray and ask the blessings. Amen and amen. So, God bless you. So, like I said before, we have a purpose that we shall not be mentioning names, those who have asked these questions, and we shall also be taking them very, very seriously. Amen. Brother Pastor Wilson, we were with him in Mombasa, and he left on Sunday morning, But he had a lot of challenges while he was traveling. The enemy put a lot of roadblocks on his way, even the vehicles, but he was now able to make it to Kampala very late yesterday at 7 p.m. You see, so he traveled almost 24 hours. So he's tired, he's weary. Let's remember him in prayers. Pastor Wilson, we are praying for you. May the Lord renew your strength. And thank you for giving it to the Lord. And you preach a very, very powerful message in Mombasa. So may the Lord restore your strength. And we look forward to be answering these questions together again in the next session. Amen. So the Lord bless you. So the question I'm going to answer is this. On the Genesis account, this is the question. On the Genesis account of creation, the Bible depicts that Adam and Eve were equal before the fall. But after the fall, they were not equal anymore, which of course is true. Let me repeat it again. On the Genesis account of creation, the Bible depicts that Adam and Eve were equal before the fall. But after the fall, they were not equal anymore. So my question comes as to when will the equality of the second Adam be restored again, since we know the third part of the threefold purpose is to restore us to that Edenic condition. Very good question. Amen. Let me repeat the second part again, the question itself. My question comes as to when will the equality of the second Adam be restored again, since we know the third part of the threefold purpose is to restore us to that Edenic condition. Like I said, that's a very, very good question. Now, as usual, before we can just answer this question directly, I like to give a background for those who may not understand or rather know where the brother is coming from. You see, this is just a question, but it's coming from somewhere. He has made reference to the Genesis account. What is this Genesis account? You see, which depicts Adam and Eve being equal. So I want to go back to that Genesis account and then answer the question after I've laid it down. Amen. So there are two things. One is Genesis 1, 26 to 27. Where God created man in his own image. And then there's Genesis 2 verse 7, where God formed man out of the dust of the ground. But let me read it, the scriptures, Genesis 1 verse 26 to 27. This is to help you study, to have something that you can work on. And God said, this is verse 26, and God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. You see, now that's Genesis, the account of the creation, that the male and the female God created in Genesis 1:27, that was spirit man, you see, because he was created in the image of God. And we know God, the Bible says, God is spirit, you see. Then he picked that, he formed a body of flesh in Genesis 2, and he put that spirit man in that body. You see, Genesis 2:7, he says, "And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." You see, So he formed man, not created man, but formed man out of the dust of the earth. But there is a part of what he put in man that he formed out of the dust of the earth was in the image of God, which was created before the foundation of the world. Where he says male and female created he them in his own image. You see? Now, I want to make reference now. This is to the... Now, after the fall, when he created in Genesis 1, 26-27, that was before the foundation of the world, what he created man, you see? And then Genesis 2, he picked that man that was in his own image and put it into the body of flesh. And then out of that flesh, he created a woman, you see? And then the prophet says they were equal. And that's where now the brother's question is coming in. The male and the female, they were equal before God. Amen. That was Genesis 2, verse 7. Now, I want to read a quote here where the prophet was referring to that. This is from Marriage and Divorce, 1965. He said, now notice, after the beginning, after time began, back in that was eternity. You see, back in there was eternity. But notice, after the fall, that was when he created Adam, he created male, created him male, and then male and female. And then he put it in Adam and Eve. And then thereafter, they had a covenant. They were equal to one another. Now here he says, notice, after the fall was made by Eve, there was need for another covenant to be made. So there's a covenant before the fall, and there's a covenant after the fall. Before the fall, they were equal, you see. And then after the fall, there was another covenant made, which I'm going to read it here. So God, at the beginning, made one of a kind. The covenant was co-equal. You see, that was before the fall. But now, after the fall, there was another covenant made, where she was no longer ruler with him. Now listen to his words. Each must have a separate covenant. Each one, Adam and Eve. And here it is. In Genesis, the third chapter, starting from the 14th verse, he says, and the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou hast cursed above all the cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly thou shalt go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and the woman's seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. You see that? Now, the Lord, that was what he spoke about, the curse upon the serpent because of what the serpent did. But we are not going to measure on the serpent. We want to look at the woman and the man. Then he said, now look, now there is another covenant with the serpent, which they were all right before they were standing. The serpent could stand upright, but after that, curse. But here is to the woman. Here's what he says. And unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception. And in sorrow shalt thou bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. They are no more co-equal together at all. And this is the prophet's words. They are not more co-equal at all. Not like before. You see? Now, on this side of the fall, they were not equal anymore. Because he says, her desire shall be to die to her husband, and he, the husband, shall rule over her. You see, the wife. Now, to the man, to Adam, this is what he says. And unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat, it, cursed be the ground, not cursed Adam now, but cursed be the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herbs of the field. And in sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou returnest to the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. This was to Adam. Now listen to Malachi 4's words here. He said, two covenants. Now that closes the beginning of what Jesus said. It wasn't so at the beginning. When the Pharisees asked Jesus, and then about marriage and why should a man put away his wife, then he said, no, it wasn't so from the beginning. You see, then he says, we got another covenant now. Now notice, it is another covenant. Amen. From the beginning, it wasn't so. Now, it is not so. You see, now on this side, from the beginning, they were co-equal. Now after that, they are not co-equal anymore. First was just a covenant. Adam and Eve was co-equal. One man and one woman. Now the woman sinned, and what does she do that throw them all to death? And God had to make a covenant by that, another covenant. Then he says, here it is in Genesis 3:16. When he spoke to both of them, he spoke to Eve, the woman, then he spoke to the man. Amen. That put them on a different stand altogether. Not like before where they were co-equal before God. But this time, they are not co-equal before God, because he told the woman, the man shall rule over thee and your desire shall be to her. And then he told the man another thing altogether. Now, that's the Genesis account. What really happened in Genesis. Now, speaking of this, I know the brother who asked this question already knows this, but I brought this just because of those who may not know where the brother is coming from. Amen. That's why I read those scriptures, so that when I answer the brother's questions, now you have a background. You see? Now, the brother's question is, now that we have been given the threefold purpose to restore us back to Edenic condition, when will the equality of Adam be restored? Very good question, you see, and very mature question. Amen. And may God help us as we answer this question. Now, on this side, they are not equal anymore. They fell. You see, and the brother is asking, now that the threefold purpose, and we know the threefold purpose from under the seventh seal, it is to achieve three things. Number one, to reveal Christ, God in Christ as the Word. You see, the Son of Man. And then number two, for that Son of Man to have the preeminences, the leadings, the authority of a group of people called the bride, that he may exercise his lordship, you see, his governorship, amen, his messiahship, praise the Lord, upon her, that she may recognize him as Lord, as governor, ruler over her soul, as a redeemer, as a savior, as her all in all. But he had to be revealed first as the Word, Christ, you see, and also with a revelation that God is in Christ. So the Word, you see, Elohim is in the Logos, which is the Word. Then number two. Then number three is to take us back to an Edenic position, see, condition before the fall, you see, because sin separated Adam and Eve from God by the fall. Now, this threefold purpose is to take us back to before the fall. So the brother is asking, when will this equality be restored back? At what point is it restored back? Very, very good question. The seventh seal is open, you see. Now, we could also say this, yeah, I put it in this way. The seventh seal, we know, open up, and it is to restore back. Of course, we know that, and the brother is asking. You see, now, the threefold purpose also comes into effect after the seventh seal is open. Not before, but after the seventh seal is open, you see. So we could also put this question, the brother's question, this way. We could also put it this way. Does the restoration of the equality takes place before the rapture or after the rapture? You see, we could also put it that way, because the rapture is very close. We are still here. Praise the Lord. So this is a spiritual question. Now, this is my answer to this question. And I'll answer it by, I'm going to refer to some scriptures and then mention a few things here. And I pray, I trust, and believe it will be of help. Amen. So does it happen this side, now that we have been given the threefold purpose to restore us back to a Edenic condition? Or does it happen on the other side of the rapture? Now, this is my answer to the brother's question. And I'm going to answer it in a way, my brother, if you are listening to this, I'm going to answer this question, not directly, but by explaining a few things, then I come into answer to make a few statements. Now, listen closely now, take note of this. When Adam and Eve fell, they were separated from God. You see, because the prophet clearly said, sin and death separated them from God and also from his expression, from him expressing himself through them, through Adam and through Eve. So when they sinned and they fell, then he could not express himself. In other words, the authority to rule the world, to have dominion, to multiply and replenish, was of none effect. Because sin and they disobeyed the word of God, then they were separated from that, from the expression, the fullness of it that God wanted to express himself through them. So sin and death separated. But the threefold purpose is to take us back. You see? Now, so, but now, when Adam and Eve fell, they were separated from God. And we know we are a triunion being. You see? So, what was actually separated from God was their soul, their spirit, and their body. Completely separated. The body was formed out of the dust, but it was subject to the word of God. It was no longer subject to the word of God. But then, the death of Christ was to pay the penalty that God required to restore back, to bring us back. There had got to be a penalty paid. That's why in the beginning, he slayed a lamb and he skinned the lamb and dressed them up. But the blood of the lamb, an animal, atone for them then, you see, but it could not redeem them because it was just an animal blood. It could not bring back the life that they were separated from. It could not bring back the expression. It could not, because it was the blood of an animal. God could not express himself by his spirit through the word of God, you see. So there was no way he could do that. Amen. So the death, the killing the lamb was just to keep them. But now the death of Christ on the cross was to restore us back. You see, in other words, to bring back the dominion, the authority to mankind again. Oh, I love this. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So that death made a way for the redemption of our soul and our spirit through the blood. It made a way to redeem us back. You see? And to redeem means to bring back, to claim, to bring back that which was lost. Amen. And we know that our soul is predestinated. It's a seed from God, a germ from God. It can never get lost. Same to our spirit was also predestinated. You see? But we have a body, which is another body, not this one, but a body, a theophany body, a glorified body, waiting out yonder on the other side. And we can never get in. The only way we can get into that body before the coming of the Lord is the door of death. That's the gate that takes us to that body. But when we are still alive on earth, we shall still have this body. This body has not yet been redeemed. You see? But our soul and our spirit has already been redeemed. Now, the curse, or rather, the covenant God made with Eve, because the prophet said two separate covenants for two separate people, for Eve and for Adam. So this is what he told Eve. He said, and to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception, and in sorrow, in other words, in pain, let me put it this way, I'll greatly multiply thy pain and thy conception. We know what conception is. And in pain shall thou bring forth children. In sorrow shall thou bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. They are no more equal anymore. You see? So, this is not directed to the soul, it's directed to the body. Not to the soul, neither is it to the spirit. You see that? Because you cannot rule over a woman's soul or a woman's spirit. Rather, you can rule over the body. You see that? Because he said, it shall rule over thee. So, when the seventh seal opened up and the threefold purpose came forth, our soul and our spirit, through the blood and by the blood, has been fully redeemed. You stand, if you believe, my brother who has asked this question, you believe in the seventh seal, Malachi 4's message, the entire word of God, it has redeemed, it has claimed you. The soul that was lost because of the fall, and your spirit, it has brought it back. You see that? Now, that puts your soul and your spirit as a man at equal standing with the woman, on equal standing with the woman, the seventh seal. I hope that answers you. Because your question was, when will this equality be restored? You see, since the threefold purpose takes us back to the Edenic condition. So your soul and your spirit is supposed to go back to the Edenic condition by the seventh spirit, the seventh seal. In other words, through the blood. Because the seventh seal comes to claim you. Now, I want you to listen to this scripture here, this statement by Peter, which he says, this is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. He says, likewise, you husbands, dwell well with them. In other words, your wives. Dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessels. Now listen to his words, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. There you are. That your prayers be not hindered. So you become heirs. In other words, you receive the harness, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, both for you, the man, and for you, the woman. That puts you on the same. God looks down at you. When he looks down, he doesn't look at your fallen soul, your fallen spirit, but he looks at his word. He looks at the redeemed, what he has redeemed, claimed back to himself. You see? So the threefold purpose restores us back, our soul and our spirit, to a Edenic condition. You see? It takes us back to the spoken word. It brings the spoken word promise of Mark 11. And the spoken word promise of Mark 11 belongs to both the male and the female. But our body, this one here, is the dust of the earth. But we have another glorified, another body, a theophany body, a glorified body beyond the curtain of time. And that body is free from the curse. And when Brother Branham was taken beyond the curtain of time, he saw them. He said there was no difference. Of course, you would see this is a woman, this is a man. But he would hug the woman, but there were no senses. He couldn't feel any sense, human senses, the desire for a woman in the body. It was gone. It was not there. A theophany body. So that put them on the same ground. You see? But now that will happen on the other side of the rapture. But when we are still alive, we get it on this side of the rapture. Praise the Lord. But when we die, then when we go up to glory, amen, and then you go in that body, a theophany body, then we come down and we take a glorified body. You see, where we shall live with him forever and forever. No more sin, no more curse, no more sorrows, amen, no more pain. Praise the name of the Lord, amen. But as we stand now, the soul and the spirit is on equal measures. And that's why I read to you that quote that says, both of you are heirs together of the grace of life. Treat her well. You see? But this body here is still subject to sin. It has not been redeemed yet. Of course, he has given us the harness. But it has not been fully redeemed yet. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. I love that. But it will be fully redeemed. Let me read you one more scripture here where it's talking about the body being redeemed. I believe it's Ephesians. And then we read another one more scripture. And then that is it. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 11 here. Let me see. Okay, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted, after that you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the harness of our redemption, which is the harness of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. So you have the harness. You are so redeemed, your spirit redeemed, that your flesh is subject to the word of God. You see that? Amen. But not yet redeemed. There's another body, theophany, glorified body, waiting to take us on. Amen. But now, when the Lord comes, then in the rapture, for the rapture to take us home, we shall be changed. We shall be changed, and then we shall put on that theophany body. And then, of course, in that theophany body, there'll be no senses of, like, you know what it is. If you are matured enough, you know what I'm talking about, a woman being a woman, a man being a woman. That thing of your desire, woman's desire being for the husband, will no longer be there. You see that? It will be gone. It's another body altogether that doesn't have that sense. But right now, we still have this body. I hope you get the difference. The difference here is this, is that your soul and your spirit, by the threefold purpose of the seventh seal, redeems your soul and your spirit back. Now you have got to exercise your faith. You have got to believe. You have got to have the dynamics, the anointing of the Holy Spirit to exercise the dominion, the authority. And then Romans 8, the day that all creation will be waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. It's waiting when the sons of God will be fully manifested. Your body, your soul. You see, where you can speak the word and then it will materialize itself like that. Malachi 4 displayed it. You see, he displayed a man in condition, in an Edenic condition, but the body was still subject to death, still subject to sin. But his soul, his spirit was no more. It was all gone. So I hope that answers your question. And then one more scripture which I want to read here, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Amen. In closing, I'll read from verse 16, but the main part is verse 23. So it says like this, rejoice evermore, that's verse 16, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, all fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Now verse 23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. Amen. So may the Lord God bless you and be with you through the week till we meet again next Tuesday, God willing. Shalom. God bless you.